This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Joy, Joy, Joy.
Hello and welcome to Well, 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 brought to you live every Tuesday by VAC from midday. Here on Well, 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 we discuss topics related to sex, health and well-being in our gender, sex and sexually diverse community. Thanks to QNN for the news and thanks to Gazmen for the morning show. I'm Cal and joining me this week as a special guest host, John Manwaring. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
Very good to have you here. Now, John, I know you're no stranger to the show, but John, as we're continuing our series on mental health issues in the LGBTI community, this week we're focusing on regional and rural Victorians in lead up to this weekend's Chill Out Community Forum, You Are Not Alone, which I believe you are moderating.
Yes, indeed. Fantastic privilege. And we'll also be joined later in the show by a couple of the panelists from the event, Alison Kennedy from the National Center for Farmer Health, and then later Daniel Whithouse from NISH, the National Institute for Challenging Homophobia Education. But before we continue the discussion around mental health, if you've missed out on the last few weeks, you can always download podcasts of the previous episodes of Well, Well, Well online at www.joy.org.au.
Absolutely. For example, with today being International Women's Day, you could catch last week's discussion about mental health issues for positive women as we spoke with Straight Arrow's Sarah Hawking about the Phoenix Workshop for Positive Women. And speaking of International Women's Day, the Lesbian, Bisexual, and Queer Women's Health Conference is coming up. John, did you get to go to that last year?
I didn't. I didn't find out until
well,
too late.
Well, I will say I had... You know, you wouldn't expect it, but I think one of the most entertaining sessions I sat in on was actually on pap smears from a clinician and the frequency and testing and, you know, good for women's health and well-being. But Lesbian, Bisexual, Queer Women's Conference did occur last year at the Jasper Hotel, and it's happening again this year. It's now really taken a national scope as VAC and ACON are partnering to bring you this one-day national conference focusing on health and well-being of lesbian, bisexual, and queer women. I believe they've already confirmed a few keynote speakers, Victoria's first gender and sexuality committee. Commissioner Rowena Allen.
Awesome.
Yep. We've got Beck Johnson, who's the co-founder of Indigilez Leadership and Support Group, which is focused on Indigenous women. You'll have kind of some of the familiar faces with CEOs like Simon Ruth and now ACON CEO Nicholas Parkhill.
Cool.
And it'll be emceed by the Green Room Performing Arts winner and LBQ Women's Advocate Yana Alana. If anyone
awesome.
Was at the AOD Touchbase launch, she was a fantastic MC. She was also at the launch, I think, for MCV. She's showing up all over the place, but it's with good reason because she's quite entertaining. So if you get to make it to that, by all means, you'll enjoy that aspect. So going on from that, also International Women's Day, we're going to actually have all female artists featured on today's show. And yeah, it should be a good show all around. But we are going to be kind of be focusing on the mental health aspect this week.
Yes.
And yeah, John, if people want to get in part of that conversation, how can they get in touch with us?
Oh, my friends, there are myriad ways to connect with us. The easiest is to email us at onair@joy.org.au, or you can SMS us on 0427-JOY949. That's Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
That's right. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well. I'm Cal, and I'm joined in the studio this week with special guest John Manwaring. And we're discussing mental health and focus on LGBTI community members living in regional and rural areas. John, now you'll be moderating this Chill Out Forum called You Are Not Alone. Is this the first Chill Out community forum for VAC?
No, VAC ran one that last year's Chill Out that was called We Are Families. We ran it in conjunction with the Rainbow Families Council, and it was a wild success. We had a lot of people show up. We were able to talk about some really interesting and important issues facing Rainbow Families. We also had Marianne Thomas, who is the member for Macedon and now the Parliamentary Secretary for Health, and she will actually be at this year's Chill Out Community Forum about mental health.
Well, it's great to have her presence there 2 years in a row. Very influential voice, I imagine, to have kind of privy to that. So that's great.
We can hope so, yeah.
So this year, it's called You Are Not Alone. Event partners at all this year?
Yeah, we've teamed up with the National Center for Farmer Health. They've been great about working with people, not necessarily in the queer space or the LGBTI space, but they're moving into that. They're really eager because they've seen that there is a really strong need for support and for services for queer people living rurally.
Well, I want to look forward to talking to Allison Kennedy from the National Center for Farmer Health here a little later in the show. Now, the VAC Community Forum, is this the only presence VAC is going to have this year?
No, we'll have our Pronto Rapid HIV testing van there. The guys will be running tests all throughout the Chill Out Carnival. Also, we'll have a booth at the Chill Out Carnival, but it will be branded not under VAC, but under VAC Country, which is our new rural and regional office based out of Bendigo.
Okay.
It's, you know, we're still in the process of setting it up, but it's going to be working in the queer health space and providing support to people living rurally and regionally in partnership with Bendigo Community Health.
And I believe this isn't running because you had CAN previously in Bendigo.
Yeah, so CAN unfortunately had to go away. They decided to close shop. And
I think that was their decision.
Yes, it was his decision to wind up. But with that, that left a need that was being unfilled. And so VAC thought that we are the Victorian AIDS Council, and we want to be helping people in Victoria. So we decided to move into that space, and hopefully we'll be able to provide some great services there.
Okay, so if I imagine, you know, you're going to hear a lot of talk about it. Everyone's kind of switched trains now from Mardi Gras, which is why I sound so raspy this week. So apologies to everyone listening to my borderline drag voice.
Yeah.
And but yeah, this weekend, 11th through the 14th of March, taking advantage of the Victorian long weekend, you have Chill Out in Daylesford. Yep. And so it sounds like there's a few opportunities there with regard to interacting with VAC, whether that's whether at the forum or also at Carnival Day, and with the Pronto testing van, which is amazing that's there again.
Absolutely.
All right.
Joy, 94.9.
Oh, that's beautiful. Together we are one, and we're together. We're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I'm Cal, and joined by our guest host this week is John Manwaring. This week we're discussing mental health issues for the LGBTI community, specifically within regional and rural areas. And I might note, as we're talking about mental health, if you find anything distressing or if you need immediate mental help, please call Lifeline at 13 11 14. Again, that's Lifeline at 13 11 14. Now, we are actually joined by Allison Kennedy from the National Center for Farmer Health. Hello, Allison. How are you going?
Oh, very well. Thank you, Caleb.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us on the show. Now, first of all, can you give us a little bit of a rundown? Because, you know, we are based here in metropolitan Melbourne, so there's probably quite a few people out there that aren't familiar with the National Center for Farmer Health. What's the story there?
Sure. Well, the National Center for Farmer Health is a partnership between Deakin University and Western District Health Service in Victoria's southwest. And I guess our overall mission is to make a difference to farmers' lives. So we work to improve the health, well-being and safety of farmers, as well as the farming workforce, farming families and the farming community as a whole.
And what do those activities look like as far as you know, improving that well-being?
Sure. Well, we do a range of things. So we do research, so looking at how, you know, ways that we can improve people's health. In that way, we also deliver a postgraduate education course, which is around agricultural health and medicine. We do service delivery, so that's via our AgriSafe clinic, our Sustainable Farm Families program, and our health and lifestyle assessments. And we have a very broad-based website, so that just describes everything that the centre does, as well as provides a lot of information on health and safety topics.
Well, one of the things, Allison, that people wonder about is how do mental health issues for people living rurally and regionally differ from those of people experienced by people living in cities and metropolitan areas?
Sure, I think they differ on a number of ways, and then in some ways some of the issues are similar. So there isn't a really big difference in terms of diagnosed mental illness. So those rates are quite similar across rural and urban areas. But then I think if we look at things like suicide rates, they're certainly significantly higher in rural areas and higher again within the farming population.
Mm.
So some of the most recent information has been coming out of Queensland, and that suggests that farmers are about twice as likely to take their own lives when compared with the general population.
Wow,
that's intense.
It is. That's a difficult thing to hear, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would surprise a lot of people.
Mm.
Has the center, Allison, we spoke about this a little bit earlier, but has the center seen any demand from LGBTI individuals? I guess a lot of people, you know, there have definitely been politicians out there that have suggested that there's no LGBTI people in the country. Is that true?
Well, I think that's laughable for a start. But I guess it's, it's something that we're really only just starting to become aware of. I think there's obviously been a very strong stigma around LGBTI issues in rural areas, and I think, you know, in many ways that still exists. But there are certainly starting to be some discussions. I know in our local media there's been some discussions around gay marriage. And we've also been in discussion with one particular local gay farmer who has come to us seeking support. So, you know, and just in speaking with him, he knows of, you know, quite a number of farmers in the area that would identify as LGBTI, but don't speak out about that.
But I think so that's the common thing is... I was just going to say, it seems like sometimes it just takes one person to kind of be willing to kind of put themselves out there a little bit, or to approach in this connection a dialogue with you, and that opens the gates for other people going forward.
I think that's very true. And I mean, really, just by having a conversation with somebody in the community, it really does start to open our eyes to the fact that there are concerns that people have out there, and you know, this is something that we certainly may be able to help address.
And with your involvement this week on the You Are Not Alone community forum, on Saturday the 12th of March, for those that are listening, at 2 p.m. At the Dales for Neighborhood Center, what are you hoping to kind of get from this, considering that, you know, you were saying too, you guys have a range of longstanding experience with services for farmers, but I guess maybe not so much work in the LGBTI space. Is this going to be kind of an opportunity, like a, I guess a learning opportunity, or a chance to kind of be able to get some of that community feedback in a more open way?
Definitely. Yeah, I see this as a big opportunity for us to learn. So I guess we would like to know what is working for people. So, you know, if somebody's finding that they are finding some sort of service or support or whatever that works for them, we'd love to know about that so that we can promote it more, I guess, or we can build on it in some way. We'd also certainly like to know what's missing. You know, what sort of people... And what sort of information do people need? What sort of services do they need? You know, are they professional services? Are they more peer support-based services? And I guess tying all that together too, what sort of research should we be doing to fill any gaps in knowledge in order to be able to develop appropriate services for people?
Yeah, excellent. So if people are wanting to know more about the National Center for Farmer Health and the services provide, also the research you do, where can they go and find information about that?
I would suggest that a great first point of call is the website.
Okay.
So that's www.farmerhealth.org.au. So that has all our contact details, but also everything that we're doing in the farmer health space,
great.
As well as all the information that I spoke about earlier. They can also, you know, give us a call, and that the phone number for the centre is 03-551-8533.
Fantastic. What was that number one more time?
03-551-8533.
And, of course, they'll have the opportunity as well, if they're at Chill Out, to come and speak to you firsthand at the community forum, You Are Not Alone, on Saturday the 12th of March. And, yeah, if not, then farmerhealth.org.au or the number that Allison's just given you. Allison, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Allison.
We look forward to that, continuing that conversation on Saturday at Chill Out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. Thanks, Caleb and John.
Great. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, next we will be speaking with Daniel Whithouse from NICHE. And if you want to be a part of the discussion, please feel free to email us at onair@joy.org.au, or you can SMS us on 0427-JOY949. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And we're also continuing our conversation around mental health, specifically focused on LGBTI community members in regional and rural settings. And we're now joined in studio by Daniel Whithouse. Welcome.
Good afternoon and happy International Women's Day.
Yes, happy International Women's Day.
Says the three men in the studio.
But feminists all, I hope. Dan, thanks for joining us. You've been working in the space, the LGBTIQ, homophobia space, for quite some time. So be curious, what is the objective of your organization, of NICHE? What do you do?
Yeah, NICHE is the National Institute for Challenging Homophobia Education, and it's basically what I did next. So after 20 years of working in schools and rural communities, I decided that, you know, one gay man in one gay truck challenging homophobia one cup at a time wasn't enough, which I think we all can readily understand, and have built this organisation from the ground up. So NICHE basically is partnering rural communities and the mainstream organisations that work in them to basically make those communities safer for LGBTI, etc. people.
That's fantastic, really. I mean, that said, we kind of asked this with Alison. What are the differences in experience between, you know, metropolitan areas and rural and regional areas?
After many, many conversations with people in the bush and in and around it, I think what they would say is different is that there's a greater intensity, potential for intensity around homophobia. So they say, look, there's this rural spotlight that burns brightly when you live in country areas. Everyone knows where you go to the supermarket and what you buy, who you hang out with, where you go, etc. So they say that if you're coming out or you have come out in those communities, it's a lot more intense than if you were in you know, a metropolitan center, for example. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's automatically worse. It just means if it's going to be bad, it could be really bad, and if it's going to be good, it could also be very good. And certainly then you look at if there are differences. I mean, the University of Sydney brought out a study last year which is really interesting, saying that outer metropolitan areas actually mimic regional Australia in terms of the levels of what they would call like microaggressions.
Really?
You know, essentially homophobia. So it's not to say that things are that different. It's just to say that the intensity of it can sometimes do, you know, funny things.
And I guess what you just identified there is that in a way there's a sort of an opportunity. And I guess I have an ex of mine who was based out in Central Queensland. And when he came out, there were like two other guys in the town who came out. And then it sort of just changed overnight. And sure, there might be people kind of out in more remote areas who have less exposure to that. But I guess it sounds like it could actually really go either way.
Yeah.
I think it could. I mean, it can go either way, you know, in the suburbs of Melbourne, you know, as well, which we know. And then you've got the interesting thing that, you know, in some through the narratives of heaps of people in rural areas, sometimes if you're in a town of 1,000 or 2,000 people, it can actually be a protective factor. So it's like we mightn't necessarily like homosexuality, but guess what? We know your family. We've seen you grow up from a baby, and it's harder to be aggressive or against, you know, someone who you know as a person. We know this. There's an othering of, you know, someone. It's easier to be violent or nasty towards them. But what it boils down to, it doesn't matter whether you've got an LGBTI project organization, Mardi Gras or not, in your town. It boils down to the people around you.
Yeah.
And so if the people around you are supportive, basically that's going to make the biggest difference, and especially if it's in your everyday networks. And unfortunately, if we're leaving that up to chance, you're more than likely not to have that throughout regional, rural and remote Australia at the moment, but there are ways in which that can change.
Well, and what are those ways? What is the work that NICHE is doing to address that?
So over the last few years, that's essentially been me going out and working with rural communities for kind of a week and a half. So going to places that seem to be the most homophobic if you look at national attitude surveys. So places like Mount Isa, other places in country Queensland, the northwest of Tasmania, Bunbury in WA, you know, the central coast of New South Wales. So going there and spending a week. Now, a lot of people know that I've been working in schools for 20 years around this stuff, but it's not just that. It's working with the homelessness services. It's working with the counselling services. It might be the hospitals, the police, whoever. All of those people who might be homophobia curious and they want to know how they can be more LGBTI inclusive. So rather than me going in and being chased out of town with pitchforks, it's more so people saying, you know, like, it's about bloody time we had this conversation. We didn't know how to start it. We weren't sure about how it would go, but thank God, you know, or whatever deity you kind of, you know, like to worship, you know, thank goodness that you've come out here and you've helped to start this conversation and you've been the permission and the excuse to do so.
Yeah, that's excellent. Good to hear that you're doing that work. We'll get back to more of this in the next segment.
Yep, but you're listening to Well, Well, Well. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Widdhouse around regional and rural mental health. And if you'd like to connect with us here on the show, we'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, or feedback. Shoot us an email, onair@joy.org.au, or you can tweet us at Well, 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 Joy. In fact, we did did get one message a bit earlier from someone saying, "Hi Teamsters, happy International Women's Day to all the Joy members who identify as women and all women listeners, even those who have not yet joined the Joy family. Great to hear John's dulcet tones on the show." And if you, as normal Well listeners know, dulcet tones probably means that is coming from Well host Tex McKenzie.
Absolutely.
Dedicated listener of the show as well. And if you'd like to send some feedback like Tex, on air at joy.org.au. And from now, we're going to listen to a couple more messages from some of our community sponsors, and we'll be back here on Well on Joy 94.9.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
We're addressing homophobia and mental health in regional and rural Australia with Dan Whithouse from Niche. And as we are discussing mental health issues on today's show, if you are in distress or need immediate assistance, please call Lifeline at 13 11 14. Again, that's 131114. Dan, we were talking before a bit about Niche, and we were also talking about sort of the discussions of kind of homophobia out in regional and rural settings. And I guess we were talking to Allison, and she was saying as well that like LGBTI, they're being approached now in that discussion, and maybe that's because people are talking about LGBTI mental health a bit more, and it's gained a lot of momentum in recent years. But have we really sort of seen any real change yet?
There is no doubt. There has never been a better time to be LGBTI and other in this country, especially in regional, rural and remote Australia. The unfortunate fact is that unless you are linked in and supported to all of those great things, like all of those resources, those organisations, to see all of those role models, unless you're linked in and supported, chances are your mental health and well-being is going to be what it was 15 to 20 years ago. So really what we have is this case of the have and the have not. So every single place I go, whether it's 100 people, whether it's 100,000 or more, is that I find LGBTI people who are both surviving and thriving, and it all makes and basically it's if they're linked in and supported will be the difference between if they're having a great time or a not so great time. So I think it's that shows us that even though there are so many great things that are happening, we need to work even harder to think about who are the people who we're not reaching. Joy is a perfect example. You're getting to people who otherwise wouldn't have been listening, but you're probably never going to meet them. How can we do more of that work rather than who's the person who's going to walk in through the door? And the sobering thing is, if you look at the research and the evidence that's beyond debate, if you look at the difference between the stats from 20 years ago to now, they're not that different. Okay, so if we look at how much is budging, and that's not to be pessimistic and not to say we don't have to keep on investing in this over time, but we need to do so much more to get to those people who are not walking through our doors.
Yeah,
who aren't turning up to things, that we hold, and all of those public things. So we need to work harder, but we have some promising stuff, and there's so many great people doing great stuff. But hey, we need more people involved and to leverage all of those mainstream organisations and resources, and do some more great work.
Yeah,
and hopefully community forums like this are a great time for kind of brainstorming that stuff, and who knows what can come from a Saturday's forum as well. I guess when we're talking about the climate and the discussions that our people are having, one of the things that's come up, it's mostly come up about marriage equality, and we won't go on about marriage equality at this point, but I guess one of the big discussions that comes up with against being a plebiscite is that it brings up a community discussion, especially the voices of opposition and the effect that can have on people that do identify as LGBTI, maybe aren't out in that space. What do you think? How does that amplify maybe in the country?
Yeah, look. What lots of people have told me through their stories is that, often we think that homophobia is one big, overt, horrible act, and that's kind of what does people in, whereas people will talk about the accumulation of small hurts over time. It's the comments, it's the being treated differently, and how that just accumulates, and so it just keeps on building and building and building and building all of those small hurts. Now, these conversations and the arguing around marriage equality and safe schools and a whole bunch of other things, they're additional emotional hurts. But, you know, we've got people in country Queensland who support young people, and they talk about how the marriage equality debate has led to some young people, you know, attempting some pretty major self-harm stuff as a result of hearing, for example, you know, former prime ministers talk about how marriage was between a man and a woman and they're being same-sex attracted, etc. So we know that these can just be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And it just creates a climate where someone is much less likely to feel safe and supported. And we know that that amplifies in rural and regional areas. The other thing I will say is that what people tell me is that it's not necessarily that regional, rural and remote Australia is more homophobic or less. It's just that homophobic voices are louder in those places, and people are less likely to speak in opposition to those. So often people would say to me in all of these small places, I feel like I'm the only gay-friendly voice in the village, and I feel like I can't say anything against that. So you could imagine in that climate, if someone isn't LinkedIn supported, they kind of go, well, what choice do I have? And that's where we see young people, you know, leaving us either, you know, leaving us or saying the only option I've got is to go to the big smoke, and we've got to come up with some better options than that.
Yeah.
And well, I guess that discussion... Oh, go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to say, it creates an interesting point around safe schools, which was designed specifically for that reason, to make sure that we were reaching people, we were talking to them about what it means to be gay, trans, queer, any of those. And now, obviously, it's come under attack as a proxy to the marriage fight or in parallel to it. But in that respect, you say the voices are louder, but it's not necessarily that homophobia is worse. In your travels, have you come against much opposition to what you do and to what safe schools try to do?
Yeah, look. In terms of what I hear directly, I don't hear much. I'm the challenging homophobia guy, and I've got a whole bunch of privilege around me. So if someone was to come at me, it's kind of like a blood sport for me, and that's fine. But what usually we know that things like homophobia are cowardly, so they'll go with people who they think won't fight back, and they'll do it when they can, you know, when those voices are stronger. That's when you're going to hear it. The opposition I do hear is usually people who are, you know, everyday educators and health professionals who are battling the people around them. So often we think that it's really, really, you know, horrible right-wing overt, you know, people who are violently homophobic. But what they'll talk about is it's just the subtle homophobia around them. It's their colleagues going, do you really want to talk about that in your class? Or it's the parents going, we're not sure we want, you know, you talking about that. Or a health professional who wants to support some young people and gets told by their manager, you know, perhaps you better keep that a little bit quiet because, you know, we don't want it to get out that, you know, that we're supporting this because it's, you know, it's going to have ramifications for the organization and or our funding. So it's more that subtle stuff that people are talking about. And I did a session with a whole bunch of LGBTI activists a number of years ago, and they wanted to do something around self-care, and I said, let's do a couple of columns. And one of the columns was, how the religious right and other opponents kind of, what are the things that they say and how much does it get you down and prevent you from doing your work? And then I said, what about the people around you, like loved ones, family, managers, colleagues, and all the rest of it? And the list for those people who are directly around them, all of the small hurts that they were talking about, all of the stereotypes and the myths, etc., that they were facing, was the stuff that was really holding them back. It wasn't these right-wing people. Not saying that they don't have their moments, but day in, day out, we really need to look at how we can challenge that everyday casual homophobia around us so that we can get a whole bunch more people doing their jobs.
Yeah. Well, I may, speaking of that sort of advocacy and kind of great momentum, the Safe Schools, attack on safe schools and the review of safe schools has obviously been a very hot topic here. And I might mention that there's a Hands Off Safe Schools public rally this Thursday, the 10th of March at the State Library. I think there's a rainbow chalking at 4:30. And at 5:30, there's the actual formal public rally. I know Vax come on board, minus 18, Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, Young Workers, Greens, Equal Love, et cetera, a whole host of people. So if you out there listening have that strong passion for Hands Off of Safe Schools, this sounds like an event worth attending. 5:30 public rally, Thursday, the 10th of March at the State Library. with regard to kind of those safe schools and those programs and other things that are out there, what else do you think can be kind of done, or where is there? What do you have any visions in your head of future projects that you'd like to do to address this?
Look, I'd like to open up a national Kapa Institute where we have a team of people going out to have Kapas with everyday people across regional, rural, or remote Australia. Most of the time, the conversations are that people need the permission and the excuse to do some great work. So most of the people I find, they're just waiting for something. So whether it's safe schools, whether it's me blowing in and out of town, whether it's something else, it's what's going to give people that safety to go, hang on, I need to do my job differently. And in regional and rural Australia, as I said, is that those homophobic voices can be louder, so people can just start making assumptions. And that's when we're doing young people and LGBTI people of all ages, we do them a disservice, because we're making assumptions that things can't be done. And my work is, trying relentlessly to collect all those stories and examples to say, here are all the great things that can happen outside of the big smoke, because these stories are happening, but understandably, we're not hearing about them. And people are assuming that they should just, they're great ideas to do stuff in rural areas. I think that if I go into a town, I mean, the last point I make is that if I go into a town and I go, what do you think would work here in the next 3 to 6 months in this organization, in this school, in this community that would make a big difference to local people who haven't come out yet or who need support? Those towns have ideas already. So rather than thinking there's a one-size-fits-all and there's only one program or one thing that we can do, I think we can do a lot more work, and it's Community Development 101, which might take a little bit longer, but it means that those communities are really bang on about what's going to work in their town. Yeah. And that's exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Look, we need to have you on again sometime soon, because there's much more we could talk about. I've had some feedback already. Great to hear about the good work Niche is doing in rural Australia, and to hear from the excellent work, or the excellent well crew. So thank you for that, Adrian in South Yarra. And Daniel, you'll be joining us on Saturday at the Forum as well?
I can't wait. Yes.
Okay, excellent. John, what are the event details for everyone who wants to come along?
All right, lovely listeners. Yes, as we've been harping on about all afternoon, we have a Forum on in Daylesford at Chill Out. It's 2 p.m. on Saturday, the 12th of March. It's being held at the Daylesford Neighborhood Center, 13 Camp Street in Daylesford. And in addition to the lovely Mr. Whithouse and Allison Kennedy, who joined us on the program today, we will also have Richard Keane, the president of Living Positive Victoria, and Dr. Susie Fox, a GP and specialist in women's and lesbian health in Daylesford, joining on the panel. Also, Marianne Thomas, the Parliamentary Secretary for Health, will be in attendance. There will be time for audience questions at the end of the panel, so we hope you're there to bring your needs, your curiosities, everything you want to talk about and need to talk about, so we can hopefully figure out what are some of the great things that we need to do to improve the mental health and well-being of people living in rural, regional, and remote Australia.
Amazing. Thank you, John. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you to Allison as well for joining us this week. That is all for this week. Join us next Tuesday from 12 to 1 as Tex and the team will be wrapping up our mental health series as we discuss issues related to sex health and well-being in our gender, sex, and sexually diverse community. And just a note from April 4th, Well was on the move. We're going to be moving to Monday nights from 8 p.m. But in the event you ever miss the show, be sure to check us out. Well podcast on joy.org.au/well. You're listening to Joy 94.9. See ya.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.